It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. We are joined today by the Orange County Commissioner with the best name ever, Penny Rich. Penny Rich, welcome to the Water Cooler.
Well, thank you, Gene. Lovely to be here.
It's always great to have you, and I just want to point out there are no nails in the parking lot. Nothing going to get one of your tires. I know that's a thing for you. Every time I do anything to do with a tire, I think of Penny Rich.
That's right. I luckily have not had a flat tire since I have had the new car, which is my fingers are always crossed.
I don't know if you want to say that out loud. Do you? You know, like the car's running great.
It is growing.
Tires,
well,
okay.
I'll knock.
Knock for Micah.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, we're here today for a very special reason. The government of the United States of America, and in particular, the White House of the United States of America, was smart enough somehow to invite Penny Rich to come to Washington. So this week's Water Cooler is your next episode of Penny Rich Goes to Washington, right?
I love that.
And so when I saw that you were doing this, and I know that it's, you know, kind of obviously some sort of local, state, federal, cooperative, what are we doing together thing, man, I am so intrigued. I want you to just tell me, just remember, it's only an hour show,
okay.
But I just can't wait to hear about this, and I'm just going to sit back and you're going to tell me everything that happened. Don't leave anything out.
Okay, that sounds great. But let's start with the invite. So the invite came via email to my inbox, my government address.
You said, oh, sure.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly what I said. And I thought it was junk mail, and I didn't want to click on the register here. So
oh,
I
no.
sent it back to my IT guy to have him hover over the address to make sure it was real.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, I had my communications guy contact NACO, which is the National Association of County Commissioners, to see if this was a real email also.
Uh-huh.
So the email went out to all the county commissioners in North Carolina, inviting us all to
only in North Carolina.
Well, they're doing state by state.
Okay.
So they invited Pennsylvania first.
Okay.
North Carolina came second or third. I'm not quite sure, but there were a lot of complaints in Pennsylvania. So they figured the only way they can hit them all is to invite the county there, and it went over well. And they were like, "Well, let's start doing other counties." So, states. So the county commissioners from North Carolina were invited.
Okay.
There's probably maybe 500, 600, 700 county commissioners. We have 100 counties. Boards are 5 or 7 per.
Right.
After I confirmed that this email was
real,
I signed up to go.
Wow.
And no one else on my board did. Everyone that I spoke to said, why are you doing this? Why
are
you going?
Stop speaking to you, right?
Are you crazy? And so my reply, and I think you saw on Facebook after a number of comments, was, well, if you're not at the table, then you don't have a voice.
Then you're on the menu.
That's correct. So I decided that indeed I would go. I was in Orange County. I represented Orange County. We had one person from Durham, one person from Wake. I would say the majority of the people there were not liberally thinking people,
mm-hmm.
liberally minded people.
Okay.
So maybe like 300, 350 people, there might have been two handfuls of us that were Democrats. The rest
mm-hmm.
were Republicans.
Okay.
So, of course, they were going to take the invite. It was
time
to—
But that lines up with how the state is, though, too. So fair.
It sort of does. And the country, when you think about county commissioners around the country,
right.
most local governments are Republican right now.
Right.
Went up on the night before because we were invited to do a tour of the White House at 9:30 the next morning. And then we had a little bit of a break, and then we all met in the Eisenhower Building, which I've never been in before,
mm-hmm.
For the conference.
Is this the Executive Office Building?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Which is
beautiful.
Which is right adjacent to the White House.
Correct.
It's right on that campus. In fact, the Vice President's office used to be there.
It's I believe that's true.
Now,
and you still have to go through the same amount of security to get into that building.
Doubt.
There's no
doubt.
And so right. I did clear security. I had to clear security before I went.
Right. That's good.
So I did. The morning of the event, I was staying in a hotel. I walked over just to get some exercise, and why not? Mm-hmm. It's D.C. And walked right into the high school kids walking out for demonstrating guns.
Fantastic.
And I felt bad that I couldn't be in Orange County for it, but here I am smack in the middle in front of the White House.
Right.
And there are thousands of kids in D.C. walking out.
Absolutely
it
fantastic.
It was so amazingly exciting.
Give me a sign. Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to a few of them and told them where I was from. And, you know, they're just we should never dismiss our teenagers now. They are so together.
They
are so smart. They know exactly what's going on. So any politician that, you know, wants to call them dumb or, you know, not with it or, you know,
lazy.
Any other derogatory name. Yeah. Sorry. Because you know what? They're going to vote in another year or two.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's just going to be tire tracks on your back.
That's right.
Because what I love about and we'll get right back to your story, but what I love about these teenagers and what's happening, and as we record today, we're recording on the 23rd. The March for Our Lives is tomorrow, the 24th.
That's right.
This is going to be millions of people across the country and around the world. There's 817 registered marches.
Yes.
And it's going to be a very impressive show of force, as much like the Women's March was.
That's right.
In January of 17. And, you know, these kids, to me, the most impressive thing about them is that it's clear they were listening as we've told them for the last 15 years, how do you deal with a bully?
That's right.
They've got it.
And you know what?
And Trump has met his match.
And I have to say,
because of
these teenagers are not interested in if you're a Democrat or a Republican.
That's right.
They do not care.
They really do understand what the issue is, which is totally nonpartisan.
Right. They are focusing on the issue. They don't even want to talk. They're not interested in that. They are polar focused on what the issue is.
Yeah. And if Republicans want to flip on this and say to the gun lobby, you know, thanks, it's been great, but I can see which way the wind is blowing and I'm going over here now. The kids are fine with that. They're not like, we're voting you out because you voted the wrong way before. They're like, that's fine, but time's up, change your mind.
Right. No.
Yeah.
So it's great. You go back to the Women's March, and we'll get to Washington in a second. That Women's March started the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these kids are onto that. They know that.
Right.
They know that what they're doing is the beginning of something really, really good.
Sustainable.
And it
very
will make a change. So
it already has.
Kudos to them. Yes.
Yeah.
So I got into the White House with there were a couple of hundred of the commissioners, but that we were all sort of phased in. We couldn't all walk in at the same time because we're
telling this. That's a picture. Yeah.
And the White House is just beautiful. I'm sorry that our president once called it a dump. It is not a dump. It is just beautiful. I know a lot of people have gone there when they were kids, and I think, you know, the last time I was there, I was probably a little tot. It just feels a little bit hollow and shallow in there. There's no warmth in there. Even the guards, like, you know, they were trying their best to talk with us, but it just doesn't have the life that the White House should right now.
Right.
Although it's just beautiful, as you know, and you know, you could get through the East Wing and I don't know, about a half hour, 40 minutes.
Right. The public tour is actually is a thing. I went on that tour probably about 15 years ago, and it's a brief tour. You don't get to see probably as much as you'd like to. But
right.
If you're a student of history and of the White House in particular, which should be, I'm not sure it isn't technically actually a museum also.
Yeah.
You kind of get out of it what you bring to it. So if you have been a student of politics and whatever, you can stand in the spot in the East Room where the president has typically addressed the media.
That's
but
right.
Also, you know, where Nixon gave his farewell to his staff. And you can stand exactly in that spot. And
right.
If you really watch these things as a close observer, You do get chills, you know, just realizing the important things that have happened, and you're standing in that space.
Right. And to me, that space that you're talking about was that red carpet where they greet all
that
the dignitaries.
Up to that, right.
That, it, just seeing that
it's amazing.
Is just amazing. I mean, you don't realize how long that hall is, and
right.
it's a walk from when you get out of your car
right.
to when you get to see the president, greet the president.
Right.
So that's very special. The artwork on the walls, the portraits.
Yeah.
I did find one piece of art that was done by an African-American artist. One that I just stood in front of for maybe 5-7 minutes, which is a really long time.
Yeah.
Because people were walking by me for quite some time.
Right.
But I just found it so intriguing that there was this one piece that didn't match anything
out of everything else.
Just
right.
one.
Yeah.
So.
It stands out.
Yeah. So spent the morning there, and then on my way out of the East Wing, of course, you're in where they do greet the dignitaries, the march had grown. And so from my vantage point of being in the White House, on the White House steps, looking out over this protest, was just heartwarming. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to get out of the gated area, to get back in and join the protest and talk to folks.
Right.
So when I walk outside to do that, to talk to folks, that's when they were observing the 17 minutes of silence. So you had thousands and thousands of
amazing,
teenagers sitting down in the street in front of the White House. Absolutely
silent.
Perfect silence. And no cell phones ringing.
Yeah,
no one was texting.
Yeah. Right.
Nothing for 17 minutes. Do you know how long that is?
That feels like forever, doesn't it?
An eternity. Eternity.
Yeah.
So that part was really, I was just so happy. And then, of course, when the 17 minutes was up, they erupted and they marched to the Capitol.
Right.
And
see, what a well-considered event that they did.
Yes.
They didn't just, you know, show up and yell and scream. They actually conducted an event that said, we've endured this loss, which is what the 17 minutes represents. And then they said, and now we're marching on our government, and we're going to take this action as a result of the 17 minutes. There's these kids, not these individual kids, but this generation of kids. They have been prepared for this moment, whether they realized that was happening or not.
Right.
And, you know, the kids from Parkland in particular seem to have had a terrific school, great parents. Of course, we all think it's their parents, you know. Those of us who have children know that it's really only their parents.
All right.
You know, but also they have lived with this all the time since they've been growing up, which makes my heart sink into my ankles that they've had to deal with the idea of guns and schools and random murder as part of going to school and growing up. I never, ever had that idea.
And I agree. I never thought I was going to die in school, ever.
No, right. And, I mean, I was afraid of drunk drivers and teenagers who were my friends who drove irresponsibly and things of that nature, which are good things to be scared of, too. But I didn't think I was worried about passing geometry, not whether or not I'd get killed at school.
So I
can't understand how that's been for them. But I do feel like I know that that's a kind of chronic long-term stress that is not good for a person.
No, not
for a growing young person, especially.
Right.
Well, this is absolutely a fascinating introduction. We're going to take a quick break and step aside. We're talking with Commissioner Penny Rich about her, you know, overtaking Washington. Obviously, it sounds like you just stormed the city and bent it to your will, which is fantastic. And when we come back, we're going to hear more about it. On the Weekend Water Cooler, you're listening to 97.9 The Hill. And we're back with Commissioner Penny Rich, who has recently gone to Washington, taken over the entire country. Thank goodness. Because Penny is a get-her-done kind of person. So I assume that there's a long list of stuff that's wrong in the federal government that you corrected while you were there, or no?
I got to speak once and got booed and almost got thrown out of the room. We'll get to that point
we'll get to that later. You won't believe how Penny Rich got booed.
Yeah.
Take that for clickbait. You won't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, getting back into going back back into the White House afterwards, I met up with Sig Hutchinson, who's a commissioner in Wake, and Sterling Carter, who you got to love that name. He's a commissioner up in Caswell. And we had lunch together, which was very nice.
Okay.
Now, you remember when you go to the White House or the executive building, you can come in with nothing but what you're wearing and your cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Nothing. Not only that, you can go to the bathroom in the executive building, but you cannot go to the bathroom in the White House. There's no restrooms. So you really just have to be very careful of how much coffee you drank before you went in.
Right.
And, so we went out and we had a bite to eat and before we got to go back into the executive offices. And the line was very long to get back in, even though we've all been through clearance already.
Doesn't matter if
we had to
out,
go,
you
back
gotta go back through,
through
right.
it. And it was, you had to give your first child your social security number.
Not the name of your first child. You actually had to give them your first child.
Right. Your driver's license number. I mean, it was really, it's quite interesting getting into the executive offices. And then you have to wear this tag that's been all sort of electronically activated.
Right, right.
So every time you're walking around. So I finally got through security.
I call it the penny tracker. Mm. Right.
Exactly. I got through security, and then they have pages and folks that help you get into the meeting room that you're supposed to.
Right.
And this young lady came up to help me, and she said, I know you, North Carolina. Where are you from? I said, Chapel Hill. And she's like, oh, I go to UNC. I'm like, that is—
What in the world?
Well, yeah, this was how my day went. It was pretty interesting.
Wow.
So she was lovely. Her name was Olivia Poland, and she took the semester off to work as an intern in the executive offices.
Because why wouldn't you?
She gets 3 credits for it, and then she comes back and will graduate next semester. But she was lovely. She wore her Tar Heel blue shirt, and she had a nice shirt on that was Tar Heel blue color.
Great.
So it was lovely talking to her. We sat down, the invite came from a gentleman named Billy Kirkland. His business card says William Kirkland, but Billy Kirkland is a special assistant to the president and deputy director of international affairs. So he was sort of our host MC, if you may, for the event, which was about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. I really did enjoy his conversation. He was warm and welcoming, and he sort of told us why this happened. He did say that he got a lot of emails from commissioners thinking that this was a joke, they really weren't invited to the White House. I should show you the email sometime because it doesn't look like it's a real email. Someone cut and paste the White House and put it up there. It kind of had all these rough edges around it.
Right.
And then you're not familiar with any of the names that were on the
– Right.
They were kind of made up names almost, right? So But anyway, he was the one that was sort of running it and allowing us to be introduced to other folks. But because we had just walked in through this protest, the concentration really on everybody's mind was school safety.
Right.
So the first person that came out was from the Department of Transportation. And, it was okay. It was, a regular blah, blah, blah speech. Sig Hutchinson from Wake, who was very involved with the triangle and trying to get the metropolitan planning organizations together, did get up and ask a question about funding for projects. As you know, the light rail is up for a lot of money. And there had been this rumor going around that the government was only going to give 20%, and we had asked for 50% of the project. And this gentleman said, well, that's just absolutely not true. I don't know where that came from. He was kind of interesting because he said, what we're trying to do is spread the money around.
Right.
So we don't want to concentrate it where it seemed to have always been concentrated in the cities. We're trying to get hit more of the rural folks. But he said that there was never a number that was placed or a restriction on that number.
Hmm.
And I think we've heard a lot about that recently here locally, that there's only a 20% match, Well, that just was blatantly not true and passed on from—
According to him. Yeah.
Right. So, and now we know that Congress passed and we do indeed have that 50% match if it passes without any problem.
Without any further incident, incident or threat of incident.
Right.
Yeah.
So his name was Anthony Bedell. Kind of a nice guy, I mean, you got to remember, these guys are getting paid by the White House to be up there and do their shtick, right?
Yeah.
So, you got to respect that. They're doing their job.
Right.
However, folks that are sitting with me in the public and other county commissioners, their encouragement of questions and, you know, trying to slant things wasn't as didn't sit well with me at all.
Yeah.
I had a hard time with that. So we met Ray Starling, who is the White House National Economic Council, and he's actually from North Carolina. And what he does is he's a special assistant to the president on agriculture, trade, and food. And so he came out and he spoke North Carolina. You know, he did that, and he was he made some friends. He asked why we didn't bring him some biscuits and hot dogs. And, you know, he talked a little bit about ag and a little bit about the farm bill, which that didn't go over too well. Even conservatives are not thrilled with some of the farm bill actions. And so those questions were Mark Short came out. He's the assistant to the president and director of the Office of Legislative Affairs. I felt that he was a little—I was uncomfortable during his discussion. He leans very, very right and was almost disrespectful for people that didn't agree with what he was saying. And that's uncomfortable, right? Because you're there to be at the table to have these conversations. You don't want to get picked on while you're sitting there.
You know, it's so interesting that that someone in such a brief kind of setting, too. I mean, that you're standing up there, you're speaking for only a few minutes, and you're doing questions and answers, and a lot of what you do, probably most of what they do in their jobs, is not really partisan. I mean, they're not really doing partisan politics as their job,
right,
by and large.
Right.
But if you can convey partisanship in your tone and the kinds of questions and how you receive questions and the angle through which you answer them, that's not a good sign.
That's not. And that's, you know, what was happening with this gentleman. He was, of course, playing to the base. He knew that North Carolina, he knew that you had a whole bunch of conservative people there. And, you know, this is at the point where I almost got kicked out. A gentleman stood up, and I don't know what county he was from, and he said he knew how to fix the school shootings. And what he said is we need to bring prayer back to school.
Oh, great.
And then we need to bring
the
paddle.
Terrific.
It was the prayer and the paddle.
Yeah, great.
And I just sort of like raised, and he said, if you disagree with me, just tell me. And of course I stood and I raised my hand that I wanted
to talk.
Yeah, I
disagree with you. Yeah.
And I didn't get called on. So I sat down. I was fine. You know, I'll wait. I'm a county commissioner. I know when to wait. And Mark Short took a response from someone else. Not me.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if he was going to come back around to me, because clearly you could tell that I am a different kind of thinking person than the rest of the group. And he did. He came back around, and I stood up and I said, I don't understand where the separation of church and state come in when you bring prayer in, and what prayer would that be? You know, North Carolina is a diverse state now. And I said, you know, quite frankly, I would be offended if I had to send my children to school for them to read Christian prayer. Not everyone is Christian.
Right.
And I got booed. And it was really quite interesting, because not from everybody. So there were people on the other side of the room that were kind of looking at me, like doing a little bit, like, you know, the hand clap and
thanks.
Silence.
Sitting quiet. Yeah, great.
But I got booed. And so after that question, I went over and I saw the folks on the other side. And they were like, you know, you didn't introduce yourself. Where are you from? And I was like, oh, I forgot to do that. Yeah, because I was so angry, I forgot to say who I was. You're supposed to introduce yourself and say what county.
Right.
And then, where are you from? And I'm like, they're like, you're from Orange County, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, that would be me.
Yes, that white fence that's around the county.
That's right. That would be me. So then Mark Short introduced Ben Carson. And Ben Carson came out. And he's the one that really made my blood boil.
I believe
he came out and he made a joke about furniture. And he said, oh, yeah, North Carolina, you're known for making good furniture.
Yes, expensive furniture.
And everybody, or a good portion of the group, started laughing and chuckling.
Yeah.
And I said, this is not funny. And of course, they're looking at me again. I can see I'm going to get kicked out. Some guy clicked a picture of me, you know, and I was like, wait, you didn't get my name tag. It's not funny. You're playing into something that is not good. And then Ben Carson denied that he had anything to do with the furniture, which, of course, we know now is not true. And then he talked about HUD, and it seemed like this man had absolutely no idea what he was talking about as far as housing.
Oh,
Nothing.
Oh, you know, we're long on time. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to stop myself from dying laughing. And then we're going to come back and let's talk a little bit more about Secretary Carson. The guy is the only guy I know, the only surgeon I know who seems to do a lot of his work with his eyes closed, which is alarming if you're a brain surgeon. And I don't think he has them open at HUD either.
No.
But, apparently not. So
furniture shopping, though, apparently
so
they're
open. So furniture shopping.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think the wife is doing the furniture shopping.
Which
it's
is
what
against
he says. But
rules.
I don't think she gets to sign POs. So,
yeah.
do a lot of work for HUD-funded agencies, and the wife doesn't get
not,
to spend
no,
the money,
right.
Believe me when I tell you this. So we're talking with Penny Rich about her storming Washington and taking over and straightening everyone out down there. We're going to talk some more in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back. We're just talking about bones with Penny Rich, the latest Orange County commissioner to change the world in this particular way, which is that, was it last week? Is
yeah,
it only
it was
last week?
Week?
See, it feels like a year ago
I
or
know.
Something, you know?
Yeah.
It was only last week. As we record here on the 23rd, that you were, you know, there you. So there you are at
yeah.
the White House listening to Ben Carson, watching
sure.
him wave his hands around with his eyes closed, which
eyes
is how
closed.
He does his work.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the reason why. Why does he close his eyes?
Because well, the way that he memorized things was he closed his eyes.
And
so
he would review it
in his brain. And the only way that he can think is with his eyes closed now. And
yeah.
so that's why you see him with his eyes closed. I mean, he was supposed to be an absolute genius when it came to knowing everything about the brain, but he can't do it with his eyes open. He can only think when his eyes are closed.
It's probably all he sees is, you know, blood and
yeah.
you know, and brain matter.
Yeah, I mean, he clearly won over the crowd, but when he started talking about housing, clearly the man knows nothing. I mean, he just picked on people. He picked on poor people. He picked on folks that need assistance. He's one
and
of these.
This is his way of trying to do politics.
Right.
Which is
right.
one of the reasons that he never, you know, won a primary
right.
and you know, was never going to go anywhere as a politician.
Sure.
Because picking on people you're offering yourself to represent is not the way to win their votes.
Right.
You know, even, well, you know, apparently in some
yeah.
cases it is, but this is not a way to work a room.
Not with
a room full of elected officials either, by the way, you would think.
No, but they encouraged it. See, that's the problem. Like I said
they
before.
Egg them on.
Yeah, the folks that are working for the White House are getting paid, right? They're working. That's
yeah.
the message they're sent out there to tell us. The commissioners that are sitting in the public, they don't have to be doing that.
No.
You know, to laugh at a joke about $31,000 worth of furniture when he's talking about kicking people off of housing assistance
yeah.
is not funny. It's just not funny.
Right.
So why would you be laughing about that? Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, why would you laugh about that?
Yeah,
it's not funny.
That.
So, but it got worse because after he left, Mike Pence came out. And, of course, the room exploded and they were clapping for him. And, you know, Mike Pence to me is like not a person that deserves my respect. I'm sorry. The
no,
office
right.
of vice presidency deserves respect.
Don't be sorry.
But Mike Pence to me does not. So I stood up for a second and I sat down again and everybody else stood while Mike Pence spoke. And one of the gentlemen on the other side of me said, well, the vice president's in the room, you know, have some respect. And I was just like looked over and I'm like, yeah, you know, once he gets his standing, you all can sit down then. You don't need to keep standing. And again, he's taking pictures of me because I was sitting down. But I just could not I could not listen to the man. And I did. I sat there. And at the end, he jumped into the crowd, which the Secret Service didn't like at all, to take a picture with the North Carolina delegation. And I just went way off to the side of the room. I'm like, yeah, no way. You're never going to—
You're not getting me in that picture.
Not only not getting me a picture, you're not going to use this for a fundraising—
Exactly.
In North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Here I am with the county
with
commissioners.
With all these people who you know in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which,
your
by
buddies.
The way, is 80% of the reason that you're there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, North Carolina.
Oh, jeez. And so in the larger uncropped shot— there's all these people sucking up to him.
Right.
While, and when we zoom in on the upper corner of the shot, there's you going out the back door.
So I'm in the upper left, and I'm actually sitting down. So you can't even see my hair. Usually people know when I'm in the room because they can see
exactly.
my hair.
Can
you can't even
that,
see my hair.
I
just like
hair.
Yeah, I just ducked down. And then after he was done, Mark Short came back out again and talked to us for a little bit more. And we talked about he did talk a little bit more about infrastructure, which everybody was interested. So after school safety, infrastructure was the next thing that folks were really concerned about, that we weren't getting the money that we need.
Right.
And he assured us that the money was going out, and once again said rural communities will come first with infrastructure. And I was wondering what he was talking about when he meant infrastructure, because in Orange County, when we think about infrastructure, we think about roads, we think about utilities, we think about water and sewer, we think about, you know, a whole lot of things of infrastructure, of like what we're putting in to make our county better. Right? Our economic
sure.
development districts.
Sure.
Unless we have infrastructure, unless we have the pipes in the ground, unless we have
right.
the wires
sufficient
fed into
water.
It, we're not gonna
right.
we're not gonna get companies to come here. So that's what I'm thinking about infrastructure. What he was thinking about infrastructure is broadband. And that's all he was referring to. And so, of course, they're doing the song and dance yeah. about why we can't make broadband a utility and competition is good and, you know, we're going to get to the rural communities and we're going to bring broadband to everyone, which we know here in North Carolina is absolutely not true because our state fights us. Our county right now can provide broadband to every resident of Orange County. Our state forbids us to do that. So, you know, when the federal government is telling you, well, we're going to get everyone broadband— We could do that now, but our state refuses to let us do that. So
right.
that conversation
right.
to me just sort of like—
And the state legislatures all over the country, and this has been true for a long time, tend to be conservative at the state level.
Right.
Even if they're Democrat majority as an institution, they tend to be conservative because their representatives come from all parts of their state— And most states is rural.
Right. And so, the lobbyists yeah. are amazingly strong.
Yeah.
Amazingly strong. When I'm sitting in a committee meeting, I'm on the National Technology and Telecommunications Committee.
Right.
When I'm sitting there in Washington in a committee and we're talking about policy and things we want to push up to Congress
right.
for their consideration,
right. Right, right.
and we have the lobbyists in the room with us,
yeah.
how is that conversation going to go? Think about that. That
yeah.
conversation. Why are they in the room with us?
Right.
Why are they there? Well, you know, the chair decided to invite them. No, the chair
yeah.
was lobbied, and he couldn't say no because he might get a contribution.
He wants the
from
people
them.
Who are actually going to write the law to hear what we're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
That's why.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, the whole part of Alec. So Mark Short talked for a while, and then he had a very special guest he wanted to introduce us to, and it was Kellyanne Conway.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
And I'm going to stop you right there because we have to take one more break. And when we come back, I want everybody to have a chance to pull off the side of the road if they're listening to this in their cars so we can hear the account of Penny Rich in the room with Kellyanne Conway. I absolutely cannot wait to hear this. And don't touch that dial. We're going to be back in just a moment with Penny Rich talking about being in the room with Kellyanne Conway. Wow. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. All right. Here we go. Okay. We're back talking to Penny Rich, and we're going to hear this great story. I know this is going to be better than your pecan pie story. So.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be
yeah,
good.
This so, is really epic.
Mark Short gives a long introduction, and Kellyanne Conway comes out. And, you know, for me, it's the only woman that came out on the stage. And I was like, this is going to be okay. It'll be okay to listen to her speak. She comes out all goofy with her arms from behind hugging this guy, Mark Short, acting like I want to say like she's in high school. And I was just so insulted. Here we have a woman in a very high position.
And she comes out like a
high school kid. Not to make fun of the high school kids. I think that the
like
high school kids
like,
I saw.
Yeah, well, the, no, they're, yeah, they're
yeah.
way, they're way
way
higher,
way
than,
higher
this
than
her. So this is like her hugging her big brother at Thanksgiving or something, right?
Right, in yeah. front of 350 people.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing like with Ben Carson making a joke about furniture. You do
it's
that at a cocktail
cheap.
Party when there's six people there.
Right.
You don't do that in front of 300 people.
Yeah, that's just.
And,
yeah.
you know, at the point when she said hello, I just thought to myself, I really can't do this anymore. And I grabbed my coat and I said, you know, I need to I need to go. I need to go pick up my luggage because, as I said, you can't bring anything into the White House. You have to leave everything at the hotel or
right.
a house or wherever you were before.
Right.
So I had to go back to the hotel and get my luggage. And I said, I just, you know, I'm just going to go to the airport.
Yeah.
I had had enough. But, you know.
You know, it's bad when you'd rather be at the airport.
Yeah.
When would you rather be at the airport?
At the airport. And I knew my flight was delayed anyway, so there was no hurry.
No.
There was no hurry to get there. But I just felt so disappointed because this is the impression of a woman in power that we're all left with, this
right.
sort of goofy,
right,
arms
right.
flying, hugging, laughing and giggling, not addressing us, not saying, hello, North Carolina, how are you? Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it you was know, just, if a politician comes out, for example, and, you know, Kathy Rogers, whatever her name is, in the House, she's in the House leadership. If she comes out, and I know I'm going to disagree with virtually every political position that she has, but she comes out and presents herself in a professional manner, I'm going to hear her out.
Right.
And, I mean, I might like to ask her a question.
Right.
And say, but how does that work with the people I'm concerned with who are, you know, in public housing, who
right.
don't have transportation to their jobs, and how are we helping them with community colleges? And, you know, I might have specific things that I know I can ask her about where we can probably agree that it's a population that we both want to help.
Right.
She might want to help them one way. I might want to help them another.
Right.
But I'm not going to be sitting there saying, why do you act like, you know, like a clown?
It shouldn't be. It was uncomfortable. And I'm going to go back to Billy Kirkland. I think he acted very professionally. And he made everybody welcome. He wasn't like giggling and joking. He was very serious about us being there. He wanted to hear from us. And it was genuine. You know, that's the kind of thing, even though I know he's politically on the other side of
me,
I felt free to ask him questions. As a matter of fact, when he gave me his business card, he said, you just call me. He said, it might be a couple of days before I get back in touch with you, but just call me. And I have. I called him yesterday. He has not gotten back in touch with me yet. But I just wanted to talk to him about how this could be a little bit more comfortable for the Democrats in the room. How to make it where you're welcoming everybody.
See, that's really valuable. If he really wants to do this.
Well, he's in charge of intergovernmental affairs.
You know, you would think that, and I mean, he's probably brought this to the point that at least got you to be there.
Right.
At all.
Exactly.
And gave you whatever element of a positive experience you had.
Right.
And so you can offer him that and he'll hear you.
Yes.
Even though he might not have a note card in his hand that says, I hear you, like his boss has to do.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so my follow-up plan is to try and talk with him a little bit more, because they are going to continue doing these with different states, the county commissioners at the county commissioner level.
Right, right.
And I just want to offer some feedback to him from someone who's on the opposite side, because if they invited me back again, I would go. I think that it is extremely valuable to be there. It's valuable to hear the questions. It's valuable to hear the answers.
And to bear witness,
just,
if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my overall take on it was, even though I was disappointed with some of the speakers, including Ben Carson, Mike Pence, and I didn't listen to Kellyanne, there was something to be learned about, you know, how folks are thinking and what's going on.
Right, right.
And I did bring that back. I reported back to my county commissioners, and it went out into – it's on a website right now. It went out in a newsletter that I was there and what we spoke about.
Right.
And I didn't come away feeling too bad once I got to the airport and had a beer. I felt much better. I'm just going to emphasize, if you're not at the table, you're not being heard.
That's right.
And you know, it, uncomfortable, yes, and your defenses are up, yes, but you need to be there. You can't just say, oh, I'm not going to go listen to them. You need to go listen to that mindset. You need to understand what is running our country.
That's true.
It's important.
You know, drawing a line around yourself and drawing a circle around yourself and saying, none of that's going to, I'm not going to listen to that and whatever, is part of what gave us President Trump.
That's correct.
It's these bubbles that we create for ourselves.
Right.
Is part of how we get here. We need to realize, we need to look at what the dissatisfaction comes from that
right.
caused people to roll the dice so dangerously and
so
deliver us this president.
Right. And let's go back to the beginning of the day versus the end of my day.
Yeah.
The beginning of the day were teenagers,
right? The future,
trying to change the world,
right.
Not caring who's a Republican, who's a Democrat.
Right.
They care about being murdered in school.
Right.
And the end of my day was just the polar opposite.
A person with tremendous power behaving like less than a teenager, because here are the teenagers showing us about lobbying their government and about making change through peaceful means, I would point out.
Yeah.
And yet,
yeah.
This person who sits in power, whether or not anybody thinks she has tremendous power or not, she doesn't have an official position to sign things and so forth. But you know what? You're working in the White House at the right hand of the president.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you're an advisor.
You're in the room.
You're in the room. Yeah.
That room.
Just reflect on that a bit, because when I got on the plane, that's all I could think about was how the beginning of my day started and how I ended my day.
And how she's not worthy of shining their shoes.
No.
Right.
No.
Right. Not that shoe shining is an undignified profession.
No. But. No. And I was real happy that when my plane landed back in RDU, I just felt like, wow, I'm home. And I feel like, I felt when the folks across the room said, you must be from Orange County, I was like, yeah, I can't wait to get back to Orange County.
Yeah, you're not kidding. That's right. Because that's where it's all happening, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you know, our hour is up, I can't believe, but it's true. And at first when I saw you were going, I had mixed feelings, I'll admit, but I'm glad you went.
Yeah.
And you know what? Do it again. If they ask you, then do it again.
And
please
right.
do let me know if he gets back in touch with you. I'm going to be fascinated with how he
let's
takes
see that
it.
Follow up.
Yeah, let's do that because I'm going to be interested to know, and we'll be first to give him credit if he does.
Absolutely.
And if he welcomes and appreciates your feedback, because he should.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going to leave it here at the Weekend Water Cooler. Thanks again, Penny Rich.
Thank you, Jean. Always
and
a pleasure.
Always great to have you. And everybody go off and have a great weekend. Put all this behind you. And listen to 97.9 The Hill.
Follow Jean on Twitter at Jean Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.